This beautiful day and great opportunity to be here. And first of all, I just want to thank you, the church, and every one of you for your prayers and your support. And it's good to come back home. And when we came, we felt the great love from you all and the community. And it's because you cared so much for us. And it wasn't just us going to Africa to do God's work. You went with us. And you were there with us spiritually. So the victory is your victory too. And we praise Jesus for that. And everything that I'm here to share, it was a heavy burden when we were in Africa. But I tell you what, it felt as though it was lighter because you were praying. And so I encourage that we continue to pray and intercede for missionaries. And so tonight I'm just going to share some of our experiences there in Ghana, West Africa, as we went to build health leaders. And we've been dreaming and praying and seeking God about sending the gospel back to Wa, where we had been before in 2008. When we went there the first time, it was different, planting churches and also treating wound. But this time, the Lord has called us to build healthy leaders, not just any leaders. But in 2008, while where we were, it was like 1% Christianity. The whole place was Muslim community, and the Muslims have taken over almost all the town, wherever you go. And there was also idol worshippers. So from 2016 to the time we came, the churches were about 4%. Amen? And so we see that growth, and we began to rejoice in the Lord because it is the power of Jesus Christ that brought about that growth. Well, now, this great blessing also came with great challenge. And the challenge that we faced there was quite different from the first time we went. This challenge was a challenge of needing strong, trained, and healthy leaders so they can go and present the gospel and train other leaders. We interviewed some pastors, and all of them, their cry was, well, we need leaders. And so for them, leaders in their mind is someone who is regularly attending church, is a faithful man, so let's send him. And so there was a lack of them continuing building God's church. They gave responsibilities to who is capable, like maybe can read. But the problem was they were baby believers. They weren't able to articulate or present the word of God and bring people to maturity. But the one thing that was just a real problem was the quick growth of the church. The church was growing so much that they couldn't even have enough leaders. And so there was a need of raising quality leaders, leaders who have personal experience with Jesus Christ, leaders who understand the Bible and can make it practical to their own lives. So in preparing to launch our Broken Bread training program, one thing I did was to meet with a man one-on-one. And in this one-on-one meeting went on for about 3 months. It's just like a farmer going to, plant the field. You go to a new area, you can't just put the seed in. You have to prepare the grounds and plow it. And so that's where we started. The reason for the one-on-one was so that I will get to understand and know where these so-called pastors or leaders, where they're at in their faith, in their personal walk with Christ, and how are they living their life as Christians. And so going, when you're going to be a missionary, you have great dreams of you want to train people, and very soon you have all kinds of leaders around. Well, that was not the case. And I found it that I wouldn't even do the PowerPoints anymore. You know, when we were leaving, we were like, okay, so you train two people, and then they train two, and very soon the multiplication, right? That was the easy part. It's the easiest thing to say. But then I found out that the reality was that the training was very, very hard. When I started preparing the pastors, so finding who are the right ones to train, I found out a lot of things that were going on in their lives. And there were people that were leading God's church. I found out that one of the good pastors was a closet alcoholic. And he was very abusive to his wife, but no one knows about this. He was very clean, nice man. And so he was a leader of God's church. And then I found out another man who was a pastor was illegal drug. He uses it and sells it. And then we found out that another man was toying adulterous relationship with another woman, and he was going out, and he was a pastor. We found out another one was into immorality, sexual sins, and yeah, he didn't think it's wrong. You can just do whatever you want to do, pray, and then go preach to the people. He was into pornography. And I found out that one was going to divorce his wife just 1 week before we went. And so these were the reality that we found out. And there's nothing wrong with them. They were very nice and good people. And this is not to bring out to make them bad. They're good. Okay, then later on you see what God did in their lives. And so we didn't just go and build. We found out that the lack of a lot of mission work is that, for example, like we're building this wall. So I come and gather a group of people and I said, okay, let's put the boards up. Everyone put it up this way. So when I leave, you know, they try to do it the way I told them to do, but they don't have the plan to build new walls. So that was not the way we did it. But we taught them and showed them the plan, how you can build your own wall, not the things that I'm saying do. And so we found out that these issues were very carnal issues, and it would not help God's people to grow into maturity. In the Word of God, Jesus alluded to that issue in Luke chapter 6, verses 30. 9 to 40. Jesus spake a parable, and he asked the Pharisees, and also he was speaking to the disciples, that can a blind lead the blind? Shall they not both fall into the ditch? And he says that the disciple is not above his master, but everyone that is perfect or mature shall be as his master. And that is true. When Jesus says that we will do the things he did, and even he gave us extra credit, right? He says, greater things than these that you would do. And so we know that for the pastors to be able to lead God's church into maturity, they have to be healthier leaders. They have to be equipped. They have to understand their personal walk with Jesus so that they will be able to lead God's church into maturity. And that was a greater need that we saw everywhere, the lack of healthy leadership. Well, lest we fall into temptation of just saying we're good, but we can bring this to home to ourselves. What kind of a leader am I? And before I went on, I just want to share a little testimony. And it's the things that Jesus began to do in my own life. You know, I would say that I'm a clean freak. If it's clean, I like it. I still like to clean. But one of my bad area or bad attitude that I used to have, and I praise God not anymore, was that I want our vehicles to be clean. So when my children eat in the vehicle, or if there is messes in the vehicle, I just don't, my attitude just comes up and I become very frustrated and I complained. And I say this to my shame. But as I understood that I wasn't healthy and I needed to be healthy myself and I had to understand what servanthood is, now I say this to the glory of God. I went one time to clean the van and I saw the dirt and footprint in my vehicle. And I just broke down and I was worshiping. I said, Lord, thank you for giving me children so they can make my vehicle dirty. Amen. That was true transformation, and the more that happened in my life. By the way, if you want to know more about this, you can buy a ticket and ask my wife. Just kidding. You don't need to buy a ticket to know more. But it's all to the glory of God. Amen. Because if I'm blind and I'm not living and walking as according to the word of God, I will be hypocrite in going to build leaders and train or teach God's people. So we found out that I, the trainer, have to be the one that's being an example to them. And so bringing it home, how do your co-workers see you as a child of God? And you might say, well, I'm not a missionary or I'm not a pastor. But if you're a husband, if you're a leader of a company or whoever you are, I mean, someone is looking up to you. You might say, I'm the last born in the family, but your first cousin, you know, that little one is looking up to you. So we see that we all have a place to look at in our life because we don't know our day-to-day life, what God wants to do, the people God is going to bring in our life for us to be an example and to lead them healthily. Therefore, Jesus said, if we're blind, if I'm blind, I cannot lead anyone. If you want to do that, try. Close your eyes and try to hold someone's hands and take him across the road. You find out that wouldn't work. So we need to have our eyes open in the things in our lives that Jesus is helping us to understand that we need to grow, we need to shoot up, we need to begin to live a new life in the Lord Jesus Christ so the work he has called us to do will continue. So when your people following you, when they see your life, would that encourage growth? Would that encourage disappointment? What would that encourage when people around us see how we live our lives as Christians? So in doing this, we had to have goals in mind. These goals were the goals that we're going to develop in these healthy leaders or the emerging leaders. And so we had gotten training in learning in five areas, what we call the holistic area of a healthy leader's life. And these we have it, the five elements. And so we had to train them in their relationship with Christ. So we say that a healthy leader is a leader who is growing and is mature in Christ. And we know that if something is mature, then it's good to use, like apples. If an apple tree is mature, it bears fruits. And when the fruits are mature, we can go and pick it. It is the same way in our relationship with Christ. We also taught them that a healthy leader is a leader who is mature and is growing in his community. And in this community, we look at four place area of community. That is the family community, and that is the church community with other leaders and the world. So when I go to grocery shop when I'm traveling, wherever I'm at, wherever I find myself to be, how am I living as a healthy leader in this community? And so we also had a goal to develop in the pastors, that is character. How honest am I in my business adventures? How honest am I in my marriage and in the work that the Lord has called me to do? And so that was the third C. The fourth C is calling. And the calling here, we develop in them how clear they are in their calling. And then we went to the fifth C, that is competencies. That is the skills a healthy leader needs to have in order to do his work effectively. So we have this five C as Christ, community, character, calling, and competencies as our goals. Then after we have these goals, we have the process in which we're going to build these healthy leaders. This will be the process. So our process is, how does the growth happen in these people's life as an emerging leader? And so it is the spiritual dynamic that we started with. The spiritual dynamic is their prayer life and also their confession when they're confessing, and then also their experience in the reading of the Word of God. That was also one area of the process. So we started with the spiritual dynamic. Another dynamic is experiential dynamic. For example, if you are you want to go to do evangelist, or you're training others to go, you can't be sitting here and talk about evangelism. You have to go and you have to actually speak and talk to people to know, you know, how it feels. It's one thing to just talk about it and another thing to go and do it. Another thing is failure. So they have to learn in this area that failure is not bad. It's a way for them to grow and understand how to be better. Another way is persecution. And they had to learn how to face persecution in a way that would strengthen them. So that was experiential dynamic, a process that we used in developing them. So another one is relational dynamic. That is the interaction with the people, team learning, and being prayed for. These also are the areas that the people needed to understand that they can learn in teams, and they can have someone praying for them, and they can share with someone. That's also relational dynamic. And then the last one was instructional dynamic. And instructional dynamic, we help them to understand they can listen to podcasts, they can read books, and also the Word of God is our instruction. And so these are the areas that we use as our process in developing these leaders. And when you think about the five elements and the four C and how it fits together, we had to work hard to design these learning experiences. So our aim in training is to provide Christ-centered environment where pastors could grow holistically. We wanted them to be very effective in every area of their life as a Christian, their relationship with Christ and their character, their community, their calling, and the competencies. So one-on-one time I had with the pastors, that continued all throughout the program. And you might ask, why did you have to do that? Because, you know, like I said, building is very hard. Building leaders is very, very hard thing to do. Well, in this one-on-one time, it was also to confirm to me that what they're learning, they're understanding it. Because some people, you go and you teach, they say, oh, yeah, you know, they will even take notes. So in one-on-one time, when I asked, we sat down and then I asked, just tell me what you understand about this. And then you will find out that their way of understanding is way different. And so it took time to work just closely so that they can just really grasp what they're learning. And then one-on-one time also was a time that they were able to share with me their real struggle in their marriages and how to help them overcome that. And one of the pastors was very impatient with his wife and children. The children were at the stage where they had to have the paddy training, but then he wouldn't make any effort to help them, so he would take the cane and then will whip the children, and they would cry because they messed themselves up. And so it was this, through one-on-one, he began to learn that if he is leading God's people, he must first lead his home, and he must be healthier to his children. Is he going to whip the church people using the word of God? You know, it reflects in the ministries, what they do at home. It reflects in how they also lead God's church. So this man in one-on-one, I asked him, what could you do to help your children? Think about ideas. Well, let's meet next week. He came with bright idea. He was like, okay, I will stay out. I'll make sure they use the bathroom before they come to bed. I said, good. What else? And he said, well, I need to buy a chamber pot. You know, no light, and they don't have even toilet outside their homes. And so they have to dig the ground. And I said, good, so do that. And so he began steps, and this man became very healthy. Another pastor and his wife were farming together. And so there was so much conflict between him and his wife. And so there was always like, if he has money, he doesn't want the wife to know. And I wanted to know why this was happening. And what was happening was, when they farm together, when the crops are done, who goes there first to harvest? You just pick whatever it is, you go and sell it, and it's your money. So if the man gets there first, he will harvest everything and go and sell it, and it's his money. And there was no trust between them. So sitting one-on-one with them, listening to the man's story as a pastor, I was able to help him understand that if the farm is for him and his wife, then everything should be theirs, right? They said, no. It was a real challenge to bring those pieces together. But again, the word of God, that instructional dynamic became real. And so I asked him, I said, what word would speak to unity in marriage? Go and find it, and then we will discuss about it. So he came with about 3 or 4 scriptures. And we sat and we were talking about it. I said, how does this word speak to you? And the first thing he says that, I need to trust my wife. Praise Jesus for that. So one-on-one, the ongoing one-on-one, informed me also what transformations is taking place in their lives and the areas they're not working on. And to God be the glory, they began to work on those areas. So we started, finally came to a point where we started the group training, where the pastors will all come together, and then we will train them. And for example, in our training, we started with 1C, being Christ. So Christ refers to the healthy leader's spiritual life. And it's because, you know, our Christian journey, we have to have the walk. We have to have the way and principles for it. Otherwise, we will chance that something good happens in our Christian life. And so they thought that they could just do church without actually being intentional about their personal relationship with Jesus Christ. But this all came to light when we started actually doing the topic on Christ. And I began to ask them, how is your devotional life like? How do you preach? And some of them on Sunday morning, if they're going to preach, they would take their Bible and, okay, whatever verse that they open to or a scripture they open to, that's the word. So they didn't spend time studying and praying and learning the word of God. And so as we were training them on the subject of Christ, which is the healthy leader's spiritual life, they became intentional about their work in Christ Jesus. They put a lot of time in their study of the scriptures. They actually began a prayer life. See, there they go to church and then they pray. They have the topics they pray about in the church. And then when the church closes, everyone goes home and that's the end. Well, they didn't have a personal prayer life as leaders. And we all know that you can't do without prayer. Prayer is the key to our success in ministry. And it also instructs us how to be on fire for Jesus Christ. So that began to change. And they also developed in that learning experience on Christ, they began to develop their dependency on Jesus Christ. You know, everything is like the way they think it ought to be. That was what they had been doing. And they would think, well, I need to do this or I need to do that. Well, that all changed. They began to trust Jesus for their daily provision. They began to trust Jesus for the success in the work that God has called them to do. They began to learn how to pray. Amen. And I tell you, when we were there, it wasn't a joke. It was like a battlefield because you have the real forces of the Islam spirits and strong idol-worshipping spirits, and the Christians are bombarded every corner. So if you're a weak Christian, they'll laugh at you. So as we train them in the topics of these five C's, they began to grow slowly, and we saw great things happen, which I will share here very soon. So as we were training them, our original plan was if they would have healthy churches, that they would have intercessional relationship with their church members, someone they trust, and the intercessional relationship would be that they would meet with someone once or twice a month, and they would share their struggle in their personal life concerning ministry. And they will also share how they're growing in their development and the things they want that intercessor to pray for them about. Well, they didn't have any. The church absolutely didn't have intercessors. And so what do? We prayed and we trusted the Lord, and that was a challenge for us. And it was very difficult. But then we developed the learning experiences on being an intercessor amongst the pastors. So this gave us the opportunity to have the pastors themselves being intercessor for each other. And I tell you, prayer saturated the whole training because it's not just learning things about spiritual things. You have to practicalize, you have to walk and live it, and it has to become part of who they were as leaders of God's people. And so in doing this, them learning to be intercessors, they learned to listen to the groups. We had triads, and we had pairs. And so before we started the training, we would have the intercessory prayer request. And then they will meet and discuss their needs, and they prayed for each other. And then after we finish some of the things we talked about, they will meet and then they will ask each other, what did you learn about our training today? And then they would just share what God spoke to them, and then they prayed for each other again. And you may wonder that did this work? Well, God worked it out. God made it possible. we saw the evidence of growth in the lives of the pastors. And I give God the glory and honor, and I thank you all for your prayers, because hard work, you don't see result. When you are climbing the hill or going up to the mountain, you're falling, you're getting up, it's weary. Or sometimes when you're coming down, I don't know which one is better, going up or coming down. I don't like either way. I like being on top. But anyway, it was just hard to just walk them through. We also realized that there was a need of the financial need, not having enough food for the family. But these were God's people. Some had to travel like 6-7 miles, but even money to buy fuel for their motorcycles, they don't have the money. And slowly we saw how God brought everything together, and that was beautiful. We began to see drastic changes in their lives. And these changes were changes that I'm here to testify to you, that when you were praying, when you're interceding and supporting the work, God was using all of your contribution to develop these people that would become healthy leaders and take God's work to the unreached people groups. So some of the pastors began very humble journey. And in fact, all of them, one of them, you know, the churches, the villages, they have lots of dusts. And so it used to be that the pastor is the last person to go to the church. So he waits and goes to the church where everything is done. The floors are swept. The chairs are clean or everything. And then he's the boss. He comes and preach. And in the nice big churches, that's the example they have. The pastors are very high up on the ladder. And even some of them wouldn't even come to, like, coming to this church. They would not sit in Pastor James's chair here. That's not anointed enough. They will bring their own anointing chair. And they would have to have special men who are prayer warriors to carry that chair. And if you touch it, you are getting anointing. And then the pastor would just actually sit in that chair. So they have unhealthy example to look at. And whether they were having a mega church or even small churches, that mentality was still with them. They want to be bosses. They want the church members to serve them. But what happened in one pastor's life? He said, I go to church early, and before everyone came, I sweep the floor, clean the benches, and I wait for them. So that was great. And I was just like, wow, the Lord is good. Another pastor said, before I used to just go and preach to them. And I tell them, because they don't know what I'm saying is right or wrong. But he said, now, before I preach, I have to preach the word to myself and make sure, does this match how I live and how I say words to these people? Another pastor said, well, I used to fight with my wife a lot. And I don't help. There in the culture, if you're a man and you help bathe the children, you know, you have to get up early, heat water, and then bathe the children, help the wife so they can go to school. But if you do that in that culture, you are a weak man. You don't do that. It's all the women's work. And or if the woman is cooking, you don't help with the dishes or anything. Everything is on the woman. The pastor said, well, I get up early, and I fetch water for my wife to go and shower, and then I warm up water for the children, and I help them to take their baths. And so another pastor said, when he will leave home, well, to church, every Sunday morning when he's ready, and his wife and children are not ready, he's shouting at them, get ready, let's go to church. And they will fight. But he said one day he went to church and the same thing had happened to a lady in the church. And she was coming to church and had a fight with the husband. And so he has to go and solve the issue. So he said on the way to their house, something stopped him and says, yourself at home, how was it for you? So that helped him to change his mindset on how he looked at being a healthy leader to his family. So as we look at these things that happen in the lives of these pastors, all we can say is that praise and glory and honor to the Lord Jesus Christ. Because it was things that we ourselves or the training couldn't have done or changed them. So the evidence of growth in their character, we also have another man. His name, probably shouldn't mention his name, but he said that he promises to buy something for his wife, and he would not. The wife would be expecting. And so it came to a point that when he says he was going to buy something for her, she would say, oh, it's just another promise. So we did learning experience on character. In this character learning experience, he learned what integrity is and how to walk in integrity. And so he went home after that learning experience, and he told the wife, I have promised you many times, but for this one promise, I am going to do it. And from now on, every promise I make to you, I'm going to make sure that I will fulfill my promise. The wife said, just leave me alone. It's you again. It's not going to happen. He said, yes, it's going to happen. And he went and bought a piece of cloth. To them, it's a big gift. Told the wife, here it is. He says, so you're just teasing me. I said, bro, it's going to be hard. You have to build it up. So keep on doing. Do you have anything to promise? So on one-on-one, I said, well, he said, I don't have money. I said, well, small things, even, you know, something you can afford. And through the power of God, this pastor gained the trust of his wife, and things began to change. So in moving forward in all these that were happening, we also saw that God was using what has been developed in the life of these pastors, and they had a desire to transfer that to others, the men that were under them. So we began to see multiplication actually finally happening. And we had one pastor, Pastor George. He started his program. He had 10 men that were very faithful. He started with a whole bunch of them. Some dropped out. And he started training, building his own healthy leaders. And we really praise God for that, because that was actually what we would like to see, is that the man will become healthier and begin to build other healthy leaders. We had another pastor, Patrick. He had 13, 10 from his church. And the community church also called me and said, can we bring 3 of our pastors? So they joined your pastors, emerging pastors, and you trained them. And so he took those 3 plus his own 10. And then we saw one pastor, Caleb. Caleb said, well, I am not actually having a group to train, but his church people, he wants all of them to become healthy. So he started actually using all the 5 C's and the 4 D's to actually train the whole church. I said, brother, what's going to happen in the next 2, 3, 4 years? You're going to move away from this place and then plant more churches. And then another pastor, his name is John Zizuma. He started and he had 40 people that wants to be trained as healthy leaders. So he came one day in our one-on-one meeting and says, oh, they're too much for me. I said, well, tell some of them to, you know, to not come. Those who you think they can't go, he says, well, in this culture, if you ask someone to not come, it's like an insult. I said, well, just do what you can, and those who are serious will stay. So by the time we came, he had about 32 men and women who were still in his program. And this is going on even as I'm talking. They're training and building their own healthy leaders. What's going to happen now is that their plans was to reach out to these unreached areas. And it's a good news. And they're going to be the part of the percentage of Christianity in that part of the world growing. Hallelujah. And Jesus said that we should go and do what? Preach the gospel, teach them, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and of the Holy Spirit. We praise the Lord that that's happening. And then also there is that ongoing training with the pastors. So continue to pray for them. Continue to intercede for them. One pastor said he'd like to actually start a Bible school using the healthy, building healthy leader materials. And by the way, for you to be clear, we had gone through the training with Malcolm Weber's materials called the Leader Source. And we were trained by a man called Bill Frisby. And Bill is going to be traveling to West Africa, actually, to be with the pastors that we had worked with in the next week. He's going to be flying this Friday. And next Wednesday, he's going to meet with the pastors. He's going to do learning experiences with them on servanthood. And so we ask that you continue to pray for these pastors. And in closing here, let's turn our scriptures to Hebrews 12, verses 1 to 2. So Hebrews 12, 1 to 2 says, "Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with a great, so great cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth easily beset us. And let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set." My wife tells me I need glasses. Now I'm trying to believe her. I can't see well to read. "Despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God." And so here is a word for us as believers, and I tell you that we all can be healthy leaders. Amen. And Christ is calling us to a walk. Christ is telling us to set aside anything that easily besets us, and we have to run the race with patience. Now think, who runs with patience? Then you're not going to win the race, right? But that patience are the tribulations, the trials, the things we're going to face in our journey. It says those things are good for us. And it is the same thing where it says that if your father loves you, he will chasten you. So it says that run with patience. Can you do that? Can you run with patience? But we can through Jesus Christ. Is that there are tribulations that are set before us. We should just be patient and overcome those temptations so we can accomplish the goals that Jesus Christ has before us, and we can also see him as the beginner and the finisher of our faith. And brothers and sisters, in all that we're doing, someday when we come to the end of our life, we will see Jesus, and he will smile at us. He'll say, "Thou good and faithful servant." When we hear that, brothers and sisters, the smiles that Jesus will put on our faces, nothing can take it away. So let's run with patience. Hallelujah. And let's be healthy leaders any way that God has called us to be. And we have some of the videos and of the things that happen in Ghana with some of the pastors. And now I have our brother to show that. And so after that, maybe I'll ask Reverend James to close us in prayer. Thank you.